Hey friends, welcome to another Field and Garden podcast. It is your host and friend, Lisa Mason Ziegler, and we're kind of trying something different this week. If you're listening to me on a podcast app, you need to know that there is a video version of this over on my YouTube channel. So your choice, podcast app or YouTube video. So we're going to see how this goes. And I am just really delighted that this particular podcast is going to bring you into the conversation that I was able to have with some of our industry's leading experts. I had the occasion to actually have, they were here on my farm because they're instructors with our online courses, and we were having a get together. And so we decided to kind of have a roundtable discussion about the industry, the cut flower industry. You know, so much has changed in the past 5 years, where there's always change in an industry, but the pandemic really shook the cut flower industry, as it did most businesses. And a lot of the shaking brought a lot of good stuff out. And so I had this wonderful discussion with Ellen Frost of Local Color Flowers. She is a she owns a design studio in Baltimore, Maryland that she only uses and purchases locally grown flowers year round. That's a big deal, y'all. Then also around the table was Val Shermer. Val is with Three Toads Flower Farm, and she is also the current president of the Association of Specialty Cut Flower Growers and is a longtime board member. So she really has her finger on the pulse of the industry. And also joining us was Dave Dowling. Dave was a flower farmer for over 20 years in Maryland, and then closed his farm and became a part of what's known as Ball Horticulture, which is a huge company that sells all kinds of bulbs and seeds and supplies, and he is their cut flower specialist, which means he takes care of cut flower farmers all over the United States. So he really has his finger on the industry, right? Plus, he is a past ASCFG, Association of Specialty Cut Flower Growers, past president, I think two or three times, and a longtime board member. So I just felt really honored to have this discussion with people that were not only successful in the cut flower industry, all focusing on domestic, locally grown product, and had their own businesses, but that are also our instructors. So it was really a great opportunity, and I invite you to let's take a listen to that discussion. So it's been a while since we've been together, and I thought this would be a great opportunity for us to talk about the state of the cut flower industry now in 2023. There's been so many changes. And I think the last 3 years have seen more changes than the previous two decades.
Right.
The pandemic really changed things up, and we all have unique views of that. And, I think that we have a lot more people in our industry. I think that customers are more aware of where their flowers come from now. And I just thought we'd talk about that a little bit. And for anybody watching that might not know who everybody is, I'm Lisa Ziegler of the Gardener's Workshop.
And I'm Val Shermer of Three Toads Farm.
I'm Dave Dowling, I'm with Ball Color Link.
And Ellen Frost with Local Color Flowers.
And so we've got different areas of our fingers in the pie, and some of us have changed that. So Ellen, tell us about what your business was and kind of how it's changed now.
Yeah, one of the biggest things I think for us is that when COVID began, we really pivoted the business to make sure that we could continue to buy flowers from our growers and make sure that our team stayed employed. Those were our two priorities right off the bat. Within days of the shutdown, we wanted to make sure we were still buying flowers and that the team could work. And we started this subscription program, which when we started it really felt like it would probably be a couple weeks, just to tie us over. And that has, turned into basically a business of its own. We have about 100 subscribers. But what it means is that for us, 3 years in now, is that all of those other things that stopped during COVID came back. All the weddings came back, all the corporate events came back, you know, all the things we used to do came back. And we now have this subscription business, which we never really intended to have. It was really a spur of the moment thing. And then it turned into something else. So we actually just in this coming week are spinning that off to one of our employees. She's a flower farmer herself. She bought a farm during COVID, and she is going to take over that subscription business for her own farm. And we are going to go back to doing more of what we did before, what we intended to do.
That is pretty awesome. And I think a lot of people kind of experience what you did, mm-hmm. just doing what you had to do to yes. pay and keep your people working.
Mm-hmm.
Val, what has changed, do you think, for you? And you have a unique perspective just because you're so heavily involved in the ASCFG, mm-hmm. which we're all big supporters and been a part of for a long yeah. time, and you're the leader there now. What have you all seen the big change? I mean, is there change? Is it growing? Are people struggling? Or are they thriving?
Oh, I think they're thriving. And that's what we hear from, you know, lots of people, that the ones that were, you know, just focused on weddings and events, that was really bad for them. But they, I know several that did that, and then they started even oh, so yeah. they could ship. And then one of the big changes was all of the contact-free deliveries, pick up from the porch. Mm-hmm. I mean, we did that too.
Yeah.
And then e-commerce. I mean, we started an e-commerce site. I think lots of other growers did too. So I heard from several that they, with farmers markets, that the farmers markets would have e-commerce so that people mm-hmm. went ahead and they ordered online. And the good thing was the growers weren't wasting the flowers.
Right.
Because they were
right. pre-ordering.
Yeah, pre-ordering, and then they just drive through and pick it up.
And I think a lot of that technology stuff, especially for small farms and small forests too, it really like forced people to quickly get it into their businesses. And now we're finding, I mean, I would say 3 years ago, we didn't have anybody where, as a florist, I could buy from a farmer online, pay online, you know, right. just in a shopping cart. Now, you know, more than half of the people we buy from have that because they were forced to do it during COVID, and it's just stuck, and it's been great.
Yeah, I was when she was talking, I thought, you know, we had to do the things that we had never had the
right
the guts to do, because you just, I mean, sometimes when your hand is held to the fire is when the best things happen sometimes in life and in your business, right?
Yeah.
So Dave, being a sales rep at a cut flower company or cut flower supplies and seeds, what are you seeing? Is there changes? Or
there's changes. One thing is there's amazing how many new customers we get mm-hmm. that are cut flower growers, you know, just starting out. I've always said it's an easy business to get into because you can buy 3 packs of seeds and, like, you know, grow sunflowers and it works. Mm-hmm. And as opposed to somebody starting a garden center, it's, you know, $100,000 for a greenhouse right. and a building. You can start a cut flower farm if you have the land to grow, $200 for your business.
Mm-hmm.
So we see a lot of new customers that are starting startup cut flower farms. And I see the ones who have then grown, you know, they started out, you know, they're doing a half acre and all of a sudden they're doing 4 acres, and, you know, they tell me what their sales are, and it's like, really?
Yeah.
You know, they've been $500,000 in sales after 4 or 5 years, which is insane.
Amazing. Yeah.
But they put the work in.
It's a lot of work.
To grow flowers, it's work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put in the work and do the planning and do the things right,
right,
it works.
But also I think there's much more demand from the consumer side and from the florist side.
When COVID hit, everyone was stuck at home.
Yeah.
Florist sales went through the roof. Plant sales went through the roof. You know, house plants, garden plants, everything went up 20-30% or more. And the cut flowers have kind of stayed up. They didn't go back down. The bedding plant sales are back down where they had been, or a little up, but not the COVID bump. But the cut flowers are still, sales are increasing, which is great. It's amazing.
There's much more of a recognition and appreciation. Mm-hmm. You know, my business, the online garden shop, quadrupled in the first 3 months of COVID. I mean, we had to buy a warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who would have ever dreamed? I would not have ever. I mean, it used to be in the building here on the farm. And we have not plateaued. You know, it just continues to steadily grow. I think But there's just a new connection for a lot of, a great part of the population that would have never come around because we were all too busy running around like crazy people, right?
But I think a lot of people who in the past thought the flowers were something to give to somebody else are now buying flowers for themselves.
Yes.
And that's bumping up the sales and the demand for flowers.
Totally agree. And I see the future of domestic cut flower growing is very, very bright. And I don't think... I'm very quick to say I see no ceiling for cut flower growers in this. If for wherever you are in the world, for your local customers, because there's so much imported, our challenge is to find convenient, easy ways for people to purchase them and to have what they want, or products that they can use that are long lasting, good quality. Right. Because now I think we're seeing the waves crack where there are all these new growers, and while they may have figured out how to grow flowers, there's just a lot of other parts to the business. Quality is always number one.
You want top quality for the business. But I see a lot of the co-ops popping up.
The collectives.
The collectives selling as a group, because as a florist, you love it.
Sure.
You've got one big list to shop from, and you get four or five growers that are near each other, then they can deliver farther out,
and we
they've all been successful.
Had none 4 years ago, and now there's like five just within Maryland, within our region.
Really? Yeah.
And it's great because as a florist, like, I'm buying now from growers that I always wanted to buy from, but never had access to because they were too far away, or it was too small. They didn't have enough stuff. But now that cooperative selling is really making it much easier for florists to buy than it had been before.
And almost all of those, I'm pretty sure all of them have that online ordering.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it is all about making it easy.
Yes. Right.
And people undervalue that. If I go to a website and have to work really hard to try to order something, and then you get to the end and it like knocks your credit out, which is all technology issues with that person's platform. We see people using such poor platforms that they still aren't reaching their potential. And I just think that there's just so much opportunity for even more growth. And
you talk about making it easier for the customer. Because I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying, well, we don't strip the leaves on the flowers. And I'm thinking, well, I wouldn't buy them from you. If I've got to strip the sunflower leaves off, that's
exactly.
It should come into the flower shop ready to go back out the door.
Yes, exactly.
And if you're selling to the florist, or you're selling to the farmer's market, it should be already stripped, clean, ready to use. The customer shouldn't have to do that.
Well, and I think, my favorite saying is, we don't know what we don't know. You just really don't have any idea the impact it has on your business. When you have top quality, you have an endless waiting line for your product.
Yeah.
At top dollar.
Top dollar.
At top dollar.
Yeah.
But it takes work to get there. You have to only sell those. You don't sell the stems that you have to stand back and look and think, eh, no.
Exactly.
So I just wanted us to kind of give our forecast of what we see the cut flower industry kind of moving towards. And I feel like we're still on the uprise, and there is a long way to go. We have so many friends that, you did it. Your full-time job was flowers. And I think of people like Gretel and Steve Adams, Pamela and Frank Arnowski. I think of Mima and Miranda. They're what puts the bread on the table. And that is a lot of commitment and hard work, but it is being done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But there is so much opportunity for people as a second, the second household person. I think that's the widest opportunity for, like I did. My husband had an off-farm job, and this was the icing on the cake. And that just allowed me to really pursue it because it's a very rewarding.
And we've seen, which has been really interesting, I think, very unique models of cut flower growing too. Like, we have a grower who now is just doing peonies. She has a job, her husband has a job, but they specialize in peonies. They work, 8 weeks, and that's it. And it's a $20,000 side gig, and they have perfected them. And so there's now like all of these just new ways that you don't have to farm full time. You don't have to farm in the summer. You don't have to farm in the winter. You know, people are just making it work for themselves. And I think more and more we're seeing people sort of customizing growing to fit their needs.
Right, but not always doing what the other guy is doing. Each farm is individual and different.
I think that if I was pursuing growing today, I mean, I always think of Jonathan and Megan Leese, who only sell from very early spring until they used to go through the end of June. Well, now they end May 31st. Mm-hmm. And they just sell some cool flowers plus ranunculus and anemones and tulips.
Yeah. Right.
And it is just so profitable for them. And I mean, why not do it that way? You know, I mean, I always thought I just had to grow from the minute I could to the minute I couldn't.
Yes.
And grow as much as and I both did. I mean, we just kept growing and growing and growing and growing.
Now, they're only selling in the spring, but they also have to work in the fall to plant.
Exactly.
But they're only selling late, early spring until the end of May.
They have a system, which is the key, right?
Yes.
So.
And I know they also switched to selling through a co-op.
Yes.
And that really made a big difference to them. Yes. They're not running, making all the deliveries themselves.
Yeah, the co-ops are really, I mean, that's something that we're really seeing.
Yeah, for sure.
All across the U.S.
Yes.
And probably Canada. And in our case, when you talk about just personalizing it, as of this year, we're not going to sell flowers in the summer.
Yeah.
And so it's the same.
Being able to grow your
house. And that's just way, that's just too much.
Right.
And I think it's all just realizing that you can build the model that your business gets under.
Yes.
You know, and it's really all about the way that you start it. Because I would too. I would definitely. I think Laura, is Laura Beth doing that now?
I started it a couple of years ago, and Laura Beth followed, and we're seeing more and more taking, you know, that 8-week stretch where it's the hottest, where
florist is
low. So that is the time to do it. And you know, they're working, but they're not selling, they're not hustling, they're, you know, turning over the farm, they're resting, they're, and then both of them say, you know, and for us too, I mean, it's more evident now as I get older, you know, the fall is so, you know, once Labor Day hits, we are, you know, nonstop through Christmas, every single day. So not having that break, going straight through the, from busy spring through the summer into the fall, I mean, you burn out very quickly that way. So having that break, I think everybody around us is starting to realize that some summer break is needed.
And that just works out so beautifully for new up-and-coming growers that have a lot of stuff in the summer because they haven't figured out how to do those shoulder seasons, right? But I totally, that would be me. Mm-hmm. That would be me now because I feel like what we hear from people reaching out is, they're so overwhelmed in the summer, guess what they don't do? They don't plant anything to bloom in the fall. They miss the second busiest
And that's season. Such a huge part of this.
Yes. Yeah. So I see us moving towards, as you described, customizing businesses in niches, and I just see that there's no end to it. So I just want to hear what you guys
have. And then there's still farmers who just grow with the summer stuff. And they don't control the ranunculus. They just grow
during the fields.
Maybe peas and sunflowers and dahlias. That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
And it works
and
for them.
They all work. It's what you want to do and what's profitable. Mm-hmm. And so, thanks. It's good to get a kind of an update.
Yeah.
You know, there's, I've had several people reaching out to me about florists going out of business.
Mm-hmm.
And they are asking, is it because, you know, we have so many more local growers now?
No.
Or say they're asking.
It's been going on for a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah. But we do have, I mean, when you look at like our membership and stuff, how much that has really grown in the last several years too.
But I don't think that's going to affect a retail florist. Because somebody who buys a retail florist is not the same customer that we buy from a farmer's market or a roadside stand.
No, I mean, retail florists have been on the decline for, you know, 15 or 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is, you know, that the wire service system that a lot of them use really has just destroyed the market. I mean, they have been losing retail floors, have been losing money for many years through that system, and have finally just, you know, abandoned ship finally.
Right.
And you know, for a long time, I think retail, like brick and mortar retail too, had been like really on the decline. I think only now you're starting to see some retail brick and mortar shops coming back.
Right.
But yeah, I don't think it.
I also think some of the retail stores, retail floors, if it was a person that's retirement age, that has a kid that wants to take it over,
right. There's no succession plans.
Yeah. Nobody can buy it. Nobody wants to buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so and they also be willing to change what they're doing. And that's what we really saw, was that the shops that really just kept growing and getting momentum, they dropped the wire services, and they were
unique arrangements.
Starting to buy more local stuff, buying more
cookie cutter stuff.
Yeah, and then it's just beautiful.
Because a lot of that cookie cutter stuff was bought by the older generation, who's no longer around.
Yeah, they're not.
Often died. Sure. So that generation bought that look. Yeah, isn't the customer anymore.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, I was also wondering about then, because so many more growers are doing subscriptions, CSA. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
And so people can get their flower fix.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, getting local flowers is much easier now. Right. There's many more options to get them. You know, farmers. Florists selling to grocery stores, selling to farmers markets, selling direct. I mean, there's just many more ways than there were 20 years ago to get local flowers.
But you know, I don't think it's the same customer buying a subscription that calls a florist. Because I mean, I know for me, when we were doing so many subscription programs, it's like, I am not interested in doing a one-time, hey honey, I'm sorry.
Yes.
You know? That is just two totally different markets. So I don't think that growers have a lot to do with the decline in brick and mortar florist shops. Mm-hmm. Because I've been reading about that for at least a decade.
Yeah.
Long before we started growing.
For sure.
That's a good
but
point.
I think there is a whole new generation of younger florists, certainly, you know, event designers, wedding designers that are coming up using local stuff. And, you know, I think some more of them, like us, who started in weddings, had success using local for weddings, are now branching out and saying, okay, now I'm going to do some classes. Now I'm going to offer a subscription. Now I might offer Valentine's Day, or, you know, you're seeing them expand. So I think there's a new generation of florists that maybe aren't brick and mortar, but are doing more, you know, pop-up style floristry.
Right.
There's a lot of people out there doing that.
Yeah. So awesome. All good news, I think.
Cut flower industry is great.
Yeah.
It's a good future.
Yeah.
Yes.
I hope so too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for chit chatting.
Yeah.
I'm good to eat and drink.
Yeah.
Be here.
All right, friends. The future is bright. Dave and I have always been fans or believers that the cut flower industry for the domestic grower, wherever you are in the world, has no ceiling. With the sheer volume of cut flowers being shipped thousands of miles from other countries into your location, there's no ceiling except yourself, you holding yourself back. And you know, I just saw some numbers the other day that said in 2021, which of course was dead in the middle of the pandemic, that there were $9 billion of cut flowers sold in the United States. That's astounding, y'all. I mean, $7 to $8 billion is what it had been. So it crept up, which that's really probably no surprise. But the forecast for 2025 is over $12 billion. So the moment is possible for you to seize it. And those people that we find, this is something else that we talked about actually after the cameras went off, is that the only thing holding people back is the lack of knowing the right things to do. Because people are working very, very hard. People that are drawn to commercial cut flower growing are hustlers. And I mean a hustler in the best way, people that are doers, people that want to work, people that love being hot and dirty, people that want to get outside and do the job. So they've got one of the most important pieces, but what we find in our years of experience of teaching, doing conferences, course students, what we hear from people is that they were just so focused on doing things that really were not even necessary, that were not needed, and they weren't addressing the things that were. And I'm just really pleased that we have such a platform, that we have access to experts of this level, and that our passion, we all have teacher hearts. That's our passion, is to bring that to those people that want it. Our courses are about information and doing it. And if you take one of our courses and follow half or less of what's in there, I can promise you, you will see a difference. You'll grow better flowers. You can build a business. You can start a business. You can scale your business. You can expand and go down different pathways. So friends, we appreciate you tuning in, because, you know, and we appreciate you thinking of us when it comes time to buying tools, seeds, and supplies, and my books. Our online platform, thegardenersworkshop.com, and the revenue there is what makes it possible for us to create all of these resources that we just love sharing with you, from our podcast and all the how-tos, and sharing on social media. So we appreciate your continued support and business from all of us here at the Gardener's Workshop. Till we meet again, friends. Ciao.